When my first escrow office win and she called me for $250, right, signing, I flipped that and I called up one of my sorority sisters.
If someone knows what they want and they know that you have it, then what's left to agree upon? When can you come? That's the question I'm wondering.
Let's talk about notary.
I'll give an example of what that looks like in the notary.
Fascinating.
All right, all right, all right. We are live in the Notary War Room. I am Dawn Velez with Notary Nation here out of Florida. And I have the one, the only, the beautiful, my friend and big sister, even though I'm the oldest, Camille Mitchell.
A thousand hugs and more.
Absolutely. You already know. You're my sister. I'm like the little bratty sister that like drives her up every wall known to man, because you know what? She is, if you know, you know. Okay. And after this conversation today, you will know, right? So let me just start off before I dive in with our guest here, just telling you how Notary Nation actually would not exist. I would not be in this field for sure this long had it not been for my foundation starting out with Camille Mitchell. So back in the day, this is in June of 21. Mm-hmm. And Clubhouse was booming. Like, if you were on Clubhouse, you wasn't a notary. Like, what was you doing and where were you? Because that was the spot, right? Mm-hmm. And Camille, along with some other people, would come up onto the stage. And as a new notary, I was like a sponge, just absorbing. But you know, I don't like everybody. So I really connected and really like my spirit was just drawn to her because of her obvious compassion, her obviously being very genuine about what she was doing and being so knowledgeable. And, you know, as a new notary, that's exactly what you want. That's exactly what you want as someone who's going to mentor. Now, mind you, and right today, like earlier, I just heard her say, well, you know, I'm not really her mentor. Yes, she is my mentor. Okay. She is. She mentored me because I literally, if there was, you know how you say that you sit kind of at the foot of your grandmother or your elder, and that was me, like attached at her hip, because she was, like I said, extremely knowledgeable, very forthcoming, very genuine, and just had a plethora of knowledge and a passion for what it is that she did. So every class that she gave, I attended. I didn't care what it cost. I was in there, right? And every time after class, I would literally go that night or that next morning, because sometimes we would be in class till like midnight. Like, the girl is the Energizer Bunny once you get her going, okay? When she's in the zone, that's it. And so sometimes it would be too late. But that next day, I would spend the rest of my days just implementing, researching, trying to connect the dots. You know, I had experience in business, but not in this area, you know, and she made it to where it was simple enough that all you had to do was just do it, like literally gave us the blueprint. So as a result of me being able to put down the foundation that this woman provided, I have been able to have what I consider to be a very successful notary and apostille business here in Florida. So with that said, Ms. Camille, you already know that I love you. Please introduce yourself and tell us about you.
Soon to be nationwide. But my name is Camille Mitchell. I have been a notary public for 27 years. As soon as I turned 18, my mama said, this will get you notary. So I did that as soon as I turned 18. And I have been a tax accountant for 24 years. I have been in every role pretty much in accounting and taxes. I've been, of course, a bookkeeper. I've been a tax researcher and tax fraud investigator. I have taught taxes. I've owned a tax practice and done small business taxes, individual taxes, corporate taxes, nonprofit taxes, just all things taxes. I love business. I love seeing the actualization of a person's dream. And one of the reasons that made me so passionate about it is that some things, you know, we all have different gifts and talents. Some things come easier to you than others. And for me, operations and scaling and numbers, if you will, came easy to me. And God gave me the wonderful gift of being able to, as you said, break it down, the complex things in simple forms that you can digest it and you can implement it. And so you're not just, I'm not speaking all this big, you know, corporate speak. I break it down so that you can understand, you know, okay, this is what I do next. And I'm doing this because so on and so. And if I don't do this, here are the repercussions, right?
Exactly.
I want to make things so simple that the anxiety and fear that we have of implementing the things or even getting started, we can eliminate or reduce as much as possible. So I am passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about the industry. And thank you so much for having me tonight. And thank you to the War Room staff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for telling us your background and, you know, giving us an idea of your experience. Now, you really didn't mention your experience with business and the business fundamentals. Tell us a little bit about your experience there as well.
Mm-hmm. So I started my first business at 8 years old. I started a lemonade stand. My mom had just
Baby
gone
Camille.
Back to work. Right. Yeah. Right. baby boss Camille. Right. Big boss engine. 8 years old. So my mom, she was a stay at home mom for a while. And then she went back to work. And remember my dad worked at General Motors. They were going through a layoff. This was in the 80s. They were going through like a layoff in the automobile industry. And so money was tight. And no one would go shopping at like Sears, Roebuck back then, and Richards and all that kind of stuff. But money was tight this particular summer. And so I asked my mama to go to the store and get some styrofoam cups. And we had some Flavor Aid packets and Tang, okay? And I went home and made the Flavor Aid and Tang drink mixes, poured them in the styrofoam cups and froze them. And I got so good that I would mix the flavors and all that kind of stuff and like make like little slushies. And I took my younger brother and sister around the neighborhood, and we sold those slushies. So back then it was like a quarter, 25 cents, you know, 50 cents, whatever,
yeah.
75 cents, you know, but that went a long way. And by the end of the summer, so from, we got out of school June 19th back then, I remember the date because I was like, Mom, I want to sell slushies. All the way to August. So for 8 year old, I made about $700.
Wow.
That summer. And I was like, and I gave my mom the money to help take us back to school clothes shopping because my dad was laid off and, you know, things were tight. And so instead of me being upset that we couldn't go shopping where I wanted to go shopping, where I was used to shopping, yeah. we went to Woolworth and Kessler's. Okay. And I had a good old time, but that was my first calling into entrepreneurship. And then I just kept it going. It was easy for me. It just came natural. The next thing I did was I started working at a florist shop at 12 years old. I went to ladies at church who was a florist and had her own florist shop. And I started working there in the summertime from seventh and eighth grade summer and did that. And then in high school, I was a part of the Future Business Leaders of America, FBLA, because I loved business and had a chance to go to the summer retreat for kids in business at my 10th grade year. So I have always been all things business. And then the next business I started was at 18. I worked these 6 years as a florist. I started a gift basket making company at 18 years old. And I did that. I didn't stop that until maybe 12 years after I started. Maybe like I was like 32. 34 when I stopped, but I did balloons and baskets. That's my company name. So we did floral arrangements, balloon arrangements. I did 5K walkways where you have the balloon arches, and I had car dealerships that were my customer back then. You have the big balloon arrangements in the car dealerships, and so all that kind of stuff. I remember taking my kids with me and got my kids involved, and did, you know, when it came to teacher parent conference, or I had three sons, so when it came to them doing things with little girlfriends, I made gift baskets and they would take to the girlfriends, whatever. I incorporated my passion for giving and gifting into my children, and they learned to and help run things. After that, you know, I just focused on school. While doing that, I started a little bookkeeping business. And so my dad had become a trucker, and he knew a lot of truck drivers, and truck drivers never pay their taxes. they get paid their money, and the money come in so fast and so mm-hmm. much. They get it 1 week, and usually in transportation, they get paid every week. So, you know, they need people to help pay their bills for them. So I started doing bookkeeping for truckers. Nice. And yeah, so doing that, and I just kept it up. And then I learned how to do taxes. I went to, actually, IRS taught me how to do taxes. They had a thing where it would teach you, you can go to the IRS and go to school for taxes. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of the things I did. And learned it and kept it up until I began to, at the culmination, the highest point of my entrepreneurial year, I have 5 business endeavors. So you all know me as a notary and the proprietor of Identify. Then my accounting business, Drive Accounting and Business, and then Legal Shield and travel business, and then coaching to help others in that space of entrepreneurship and business growth. So I have been at it a long time, and I'm not tired yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got bitten by the entrepreneur bug early. And it's mm-hmm. just something about that. Once you've been bitten, that's it. You're done. Like mm-hmm. you look at the world different, right? You approach mm-hmm. everything differently. So now you also had a trucking company. Did you mention that?
I did not mention that. Okay. So I did not mention that. So Drive Transportation Management Group was started in 2019. It's still going. So I started that in 2019. So I was, one of the main things I have is I also have a CDL. Like, girl, how you do so much? I don't know. But I have a commercial driver's license. So when my children were little and I was in that whole want to be around them as much as possible, I got my CDL in 2009, and I became a school bus driver with them so I could be with them. And took them to school and had the middle of the day free. And during the middle of the day is when I did bookkeeping. And then I would get back on the school bus at 1:30, and then we were home by 5:36. That was for many years. So I was in that transportation lane. And so finally, in 2019, I said, you know what? I'm going to take all this knowledge I have of transportation. I'm going to open a company. And I call it Drive Transportation Management because not only did we drive units, but we also manage other companies that were coming into transportation to help them get financially business sound and financially sound so they could grow. And I started that December 2019, and by February 2020, right when pandemic was happening, I was making 3 times my salary as a professional driver. And so I was able to retire from physically driving after having driven for, you know, 10 years, 11 years, and continued the company. And we were successful throughout the pandemic, while a lot of businesses closed, we were able to continue to thrive. We did a lot of things for the Army and Procter & Gamble. And we were there when people were hustling, busting for paper towels and tissue. We were commuting and transporting, and we had at that time about 11 units under my company. And so now what that company looks like is we're no longer doing over the road. We are doing non-emergency medical transportation. So those that may receive Social Security or Medicare, Medicaid benefits, and they're going to doctor appointments, dialysis appointments, we facilitate transportation for those medical patients back and forth to appointments.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So clearly, you know, this is the reason why you're a boss. It's been big boss energy since day one, right? As soon as you got going. So I just, you already know I love you, but I've always admired your tenacity. I've admired your, just your perseverance, your experience, and your heart. You know, you mentioned that you like to give, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was during the holiday season. I want to say it was in 2021. Mm-hmm. And it was holiday time, and I was in your cohort, and you had some sort of a contest or whatever. I won the Sign and Thrive by Bill Soroka.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you couldn't tell me nothing when I was in the book, okay? You couldn't, I was unstoppable just because I won the book. Like I was so excited to get that book in the mail, to sit down and go through it, you know, and again, as a new notary, to have a person like you to just be that guide and that beacon. So let me ask, how do you feel now? Because personally, the streets need you. I'm not gonna lie. Like I see and hear these notaries, and I'm actually gonna leave some of the notary rooms that I'm in because I just can't take it. The direction is not there. A lot of people are floundering. A lot of people are quitting. And I can't save the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time. I gotta focus on trying to get my legacy built, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about you a lot when I see, you know, some of the comments, because people are not the nicest. They're acting like it's like a blog post or something instead of a professional, you know, setting where you're supposed to ask questions. How do you feel like in terms of coming back into that space? Do you think that that's something that you may consider?
All right. So what you're mentioning about is one of the entrepreneurial avenues is when we had the Notary Success Academy that I started in 2021. And Don was one of the initial inaugural students when I first started, where I took, we had that 35 people maybe.
Yeah, it was like 35, 40 people.
Yeah. And taught them business, how to start their business, their notary business, what a notary is, what you can and can't do, different types of notarization, ways you can monetize your notary business. So I love that, and I had successful succession cohorts after that. So I do think about it. I do think about a way that I can provide education to notary business owners. I don't know what that looks like. I think in order for me to be 100% transparent, I did give a lot. And I'm a natural giver. So when you're talking about, you know, the giveaways,
you gave away money too.
We gave away money. Some business friends and myself, we got together and purchased back to school supplies, and we gave away back to school supplies for families in need. We did turkey drives and that's the heart of who I am. But in that, what I did learn is the whole saying, teach a man to fish, you know, he'll eat his whole life, but give a man a fish, he'll eat for that night. And so there are people like you who got the fish, but also learned how to fish and continued and thrived. But there were some people that just got the fish sandwiches and wanted to continue to eat off me. And that was very disheartening and discouraging. And so while I have this desire and passion to give, I now have to visualize, what does that look like? Does it look like one-on-one teaching when I was doing coaching, it's like group coaching and teaching. Does it look like online classes? Does it look like maybe speaking in different events and being a speaker and sharing that way? Because I do want to share. I just am trying to figure out what it looks like so that I don't let people down, right? Because I want to be able to keep my word. And then also I don't get taken advantage of it for granted because I do have a
gift. That part.
So you know, we'll figure it out. I think Sis Don kind of put me in a headlock and chokehold and eliminated any excuse or possibility I have for not being here with you all.
It's what I did.
It's step one for me coming back onto the scene. So we'll look and see what 2024 has coming.
Okay. Well, you know what? I appreciate that. And you know what? I can't really apologize for putting you in a chokehold because at the end of the day, I know exactly what you mean to the new person who is coming into this. Now, granted, you know, because I'm hungry and because I'm a doer, I'm a doer, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I met Tiger T, I still am, it's whatever it is, and that's when I'm going to go and I'm going to work that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are thousands of people that are just like me. They just need someone who's not on the BS because a lot of times, unfortunately, that's what's happening more so than anything. I don't know everyone, obviously, right? But like I said, I am in some groups, and these are not small groups, you know? These are some pretty large groups on different platforms where people want to get going. You know, people, they have the desire, but they just don't have the guidance. So if you did decide to come back, that would be a blessing. And you may want to consider doing that more so sooner than later, only because you don't want to stand in the way of other people's blessings. You don't want to be holding people. You don't want to be a blessing blocker like Pastor Charlie.
So you know what? I'll look at it like this. And what you just told me, what God just gave me was that we're in a relay. Okay, we're in a race to have the best business. Well, I would say race to have the best business. And sometimes our opponent is ourselves. But in that race, you have like the U.S. track team. I watched them this summer in June. They encouraged me so much. You had one person start the leg off, right? And they got out there and they're running. But then they passed the baton. And they passed the baton four times until we won the race. And so the whole goal is for you and I to win at this race called business. And so now just saying that how you were able to get support and glean knowledge from your relationship with Tiger and how he's been influential. And this is what we all should be doing as business owners, right?
Amen.
You want to have people that help you in different levels of your business. And it does not mean that you negate friendships, right? Or forget who was there. But we play pivotal parts in the race of you being successful. And so I'm glad that I was able to help you in the foundational part of your business. And Tiger took that baton and said, let's go. And you were like, let's go. And you're winning at this race called business. And so when I look at how I can be in this space of entrepreneurial education, maybe I'm good with those foundational pieces, right? Getting you the baton in your hand so you can run, helping you get in the right form, helping you be encouraged, helping you get the knowledge. And then maybe someone else like Tiger comes along and says, okay, hey, you got a good start. You're doing this. Now let's take off, right? Because the whole goal for all of us is to win at business.
Yes.
And so we'll figure it out. I heard you say it sooner rather than later. I
just figured I would just, you know, it just wouldn't be natural if I didn't. It would be weird if I didn't. So we don't want to do weird stuff.
Okay.
So one of the things that I truly admired, even though I know now, I knew then, but I just wasn't in a position to go there. One of the things that I learned from you is graced under extreme fire. Now, mind you, because I am me, not every time am I passing that little section of the journey, because you know, God is still working on me. Okay. But for the most part, when something comes up personally and it's heavy, I remember those times where we were sitting in class and I was just like, she should not be here. Like, and I remember like one time I did finally say something to you and you said to me what you said here tonight. Well, you know, these people have already paid and I don't want to let them down. And I was like, them people, you know, it couldn't be me. You know,
right. And you said that exactly.
Because, and you know, and honestly, what I saw, at the time, I really thought that, okay, I felt in my heart that it wasn't right, but it still taught me to kind of make sure that I still have my crown on, that I am still walking around with dignity in spite of all of the things that may be happening. But you did not. I witnessed you not take that time to grieve and instead dove deeper into Build with Camille. How do you think, if you could do it different, what would you do different from that time? Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about, everyone, is August 7th, 2021, my mom got her angel wings. It was unexpected. She did not have a prolonged illness. She had been in the hospital for 3 weeks. She went for a regular routine checkup and never left. And, you know, we were praying for her. I'm a Christian woman. And there were signs that she was getting better. And then she ended up, you know, succumbing to the illness that she caught in the hospital at that time. We know it's COVID. And I've always been a go-getter. I've always been a decision maker and someone you can count on. And so emotionally and mentally, I became numb and worked through that realization of my new normal. And I did not allow myself to grieve. And so that all came to a head, you know, like many families that lose someone that's significant in their life. We had people stop talking to one another to this day. I have people in my family that I'm very close to that I have not spoken to in 2 years.
Okay.
I'll say this. If I could do it all again, and this is what I would tell anybody, don't negate therapy and grief counseling. I did not begin those channels until a year later when I wanted to take my life. Because I let the pressures of me wanting to please people supersede me realizing, actualizing where I was in the family dynamic and my mom transitioning. So if you are the kind of person who's like me, you're perfectionist, you know, you thrive on doing a good job. You take high regard and the your ability to work and just appease others, you know. Don't forget to please yourself and don't forget to put you first, because you cannot pour from an empty vessel. And honey, the vessel was bone dry. We had one drop of water left in the vessel and I wasn't even the one who's getting it. Mm-hmm. And I was to the point where I said, I don't want to be here anymore. And I did attempt to not be here. And I left social media. I love everybody. I did not answer phones, and I had to go somewhere to get some help and was checked in for a little while last year. And now, and like I said, 2 years since she got her wings, I'm still in therapy. I'm still in counseling. But I'm able to talk about now without breaking down in tears. Great. You know, I'm grateful for that. And for anybody, I want to take this time to say, if for anybody that may have been impacted by me not addressing the grief and the overwhelm and the just emotional weight that I was dealing with, I apologize. Me leaving the scene and not being available to you all was not intentional, but it was needed. And even now, I'm not back 100 in the capacity of giving. And I don't think I want to be back where I was. I have learned now balance. I have learned now to compartmentalize and to measure what I give. But I do thank you, Don, for asking that question. Again, I am definitely accountable. But if you are in a position where, you know, you are a wife or a mother, you know, husband or father and business owner and you deal with just all the things of life, don't forget to pour into yourself first, because you can't pour a gift to anybody from an empty vessel.
You know, people think that that is just a cliche, or, you know, it's just a catchy thing to say. But until you have been in that position, it doesn't really get real to you until you have been in that position. You really understand, once you've been there, mm-hmm. how important it is to make sure that you replenish, mm-hmm. And that you take that time that's needed. And especially as women, because mm-hmm. let's face it, you know, it's rocking and rolling because we're rocking and rolling it. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, and it as a business owner, incorporating that, especially as a wife and mother, you know, it is a lot, because you're not going to do stuff. Well, most of us don't want to do things raggedy or half-assed. So most mm-hmm. of the time, you know, it can deplete you, and you can reach a point where you can become overwhelmed, you know. So I applaud you for your tremendous strength. It is okay to be in your soft girl era. I have been there for the last 2.5 years, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not leaving.
Right. Absolutely. That's it. I'm here. Okay.
I've made my home, and I really do believe that all of us so-called, like my friends growing up used to call me Sister Soldier. That's just how, like, you know, and I'm not proud of that. Like, I retired that. It's soft girl mm-hmm. era or nothing. So it is important that we take good care of ourselves and not give so much to where that's it. We're no more. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I appreciate you. I appreciate you sitting down with me and discussing the, you know, having the tough conversation. I wasn't sure how far, you know, you wanted to go, and I don't want to overstep my bounds. So as we know, as notaries, it is sometimes a little difficult to find a good tax preparer. Some people, I swear to God, it's like they just got their training this week and they just graduated, and now they say they can do business taxes, and, you know, it's not taxing. The returns ain't returning. You know, it's not mm-hmm. quite. So what are some things that we should look for as business owners going into this new tax season? How can we be prepared? What can you offer us on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, if you know me, you know my slogan is, if you can't prove it, you can't use it. That means that you need to document and record keep all of your taxable activities. Taxable activities are things you purchase for your business, not just tangible things, but also education. The money you spend into educating yourself on your craft that can be a tax deduction. The things you pay for, insurance and membership fees, all the things you need to operate as a notary business owner, you need to document and capture. Now we said that we can go on for days on what's deductible, all that kind of stuff, but I wanna make clear some things that we often hear and confuse. Tax credit, tax exemption, tax deduction. Three different tax strategies, if you will. A tax credit is a credit. It can be refundable or non-refundable. Refundable credits are like your earned income credit. Okay, these are credits that you get for meeting certain tax criteria. Typically, you may have be in certain income brackets, or you could have purchased a certain type of item, like a clean energy vehicle, whatever. And the government says, "Hey, because you meet this criteria, we're going to credit you $1,000." Now, the credit works. It applies to any tax liability you have. So on your 1040, you're going to get to a taxable income that says, hey, for the amount of money you've made, this is the amount of tax that you're responsible for. What a credit does, it applies immediately to that tax liability that you have as an individual or a business, okay? And then if it's a refundable credit, any amount that's left over that's not used is given to you as a refund, okay? That's a tax credit. The second thing
that's what we want. That's the part we want, right? The refund.
Possibly if it fits, but everybody's different.
True.
The second strategy that we all hear about are tax deductions. Deductions are just that. These are activities, items you purchase for your business, things you purchase for your business that act as a deduction or a subtraction to the tax that you are responsible for paying. It is not a dollar for dollar deduction. Like a tax credit is a dollar for dollar credit applying directly to your tax liability. Okay. Meaning if I owe $1,000 in taxes and I got a $2,000 credit, I'm going to get a dollar for dollar benefit eating away at that $1,000 tax liability. Mm-hmm. Not so when it comes to tax deductions. If you have 1,000 miles, you don't get a dollar per mile deduction. You get 62 cents of that dollar per mile deduction. See, deductions don't give you dollar for dollar benefit. All right. And then the third tax strategy is tax exemption. This is also for notary, because the income you make from your notary, part of it is exempted or removed from being taxable. That means whatever your state notary fee is, I'm in Georgia, it's $5. We've been fighting for it forever. It ain't happening. But when I charge $5 for that notary act, but let's say I made $50 for the whole transaction, including mileage. The mileage itself is not the notary act. So I can say, hey, I'll come to your nursing home and I'll notarize your power of attorney for $75. The only amount that is exempt from being taxed or included in a taxable income is the $5 that the state allows me to charge for a notary act. The other incidental fees is income, and it's subject to taxes. So those are the three different ways as tax accountants that we can look at reducing your whole tax liability in hopes to reducing the amount that you owe or even helping you get a refund.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Come through.
Okay. All right.
I love it.
So we talked about exemptions, deductions, and credits, but none of that matters if you don't document your taxable activities. And it is October. We still got two more months in this game for this year. That means you need to be going through your bank statements, credit card statements, your emails, and figuring out what did you purchase for your business. Gather that all together. Enter it into a software application if you're using Wave Accounting. I taught a class of Wave Accounting if you're using QuickBooks, if you're using NotaryGo, a spreadsheet. But you want to tally all of your business expenses. and categorize them so that your person who does your taxes can say, okay, this is a taxable activity. This is a taxable activity. Okay, great. Because what happens is if your records are not correct and you went to somebody to have them do your taxes for you, guess what? Now you ask me to do a year's worth of bookkeeping in addition to paying to preparing your taxes. And so yesterday's price is not today's price. The price
right.
is
okay. Right. I know that's right.
So you can help eliminate that headache and burden that you put on your tax preparer by doing the bookkeeping yourself.
Every year I lie to myself and say that I'm going to do better. So I'm probably going to tell myself that same lie again. Now, I realize that I have time left in the year, but do I have time left in the year? Because I have about 5 million things to do. So what would you say is the best way to kind of keep up with the tax part of running our business?
Well, when I was teaching class, something you and I did, we call the CEO day. That is a day that you set aside, whether it's weekly or monthly, hopefully monthly, at least monthly, where you set aside and say, you know what, I am going to just do a couple things. I'm going to review what has happened. I'm going to break that down, my business goals, my money goals, and my activities, and I'm going to plan for the next month. During that time, what I like to I'm not going to say what I would teach. I'll give you a hint. We have this beautiful thing called AI. And we can use AI to pull in transactions and help make that bookkeeping easier for us so that all we have to do is just review. So there are different, banks, and softwares that can look at your activity as long as you're using, want to keep your business income separate from your personal income. I have a business checking account, but it can categorize those things for you, making it easier on you. So to do the bookkeeping, so you don't feel that angst, like, oh, the mundane task, I don't want to do it. But think about it like this. How would you know if someone took money from you if you didn't check your bank account? What if they were taking $2 here, $1.99 here?
Apple. Go ahead.
Apple, Google, we don't really know it's $1.99, right? But let's say, for instance, it happens every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And you don't, what's the dollar? But at the end of the month, they've gotten $8 from you. At the end of year, they've gotten, 8 times 12, $72 from you. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if they do that to 100 people.
Yeah.
That's $7,200. You can help stop bank fraud by looking at your bank statements. You can help keep money from flowing out the window from looking at, you know what, I have this subscription. I don't even use this subscription no more. I need to cancel it, right? You can find missing money by checking your bank statements. Mm-hmm. So look at it that way. I'm going to find me some missing money, right? I want to see what my money's spending on that I really don't even remember spending on. That means you don't need it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So hopefully that would help you look at it a little differently.
Well, just keep me in prayer on that one. But, okay, so let me ask you this, Camille. Would you recommend, or do you think that it's, in your opinion, is it better to do your taxes every quarter or annually? Like, what do you consider to be the best way to handle the tax part?
So let me give you what IRS says. Okay, we're going to take me out the position and take what IRS says. IRS says you are supposed to complete a quarterly tax return if you will owe $1,000 or more in estimated taxes. How will you know that? By doing your bookkeeping. So every month, when I'm looking at my categories where my money is spent, and I look at my income, and I look at, say, okay, I had $2,000 in income, and I had $200 of taxable activity, right? Maybe usually it's more than that, okay? $200, but so you had $1,800 profit for 1 month. Mm-hmm. Times 2 months, that's 36. Times 3 months, that's what, $5,800 for 3 months of taxable income. Now what you have to do is look on the IRS website. This is what we do as accountants, and look and see what the tax responsibility or tax liability is for that $5,800 gross net profit. If that tax that you're responsible for paying is $1,000 or more, then you are legally required to pay and file your a quarterly tax return. So this is why it's important to do your bookkeeping. And yes, you want to look at to see where you are quarterly. You may not have to pay for that mm-hmm. particular quarter, but you mm-hmm. still want to at least know where you are. Now, let's say, for instance, like a lot of people, you don't do it until you do your annual taxes. Well, here's how that can possibly hurt you, because the IRS likes to get money from your annuity can, and we don't want to give away money, but we do.
Yeah.
If you wait until you do your taxes annually, let's say, for instance, you're a sole proprietor or a single owner LLC, single member LLC, which is still treated as a sole proprietor, and you do a Schedule C. Well, you do your taxes, and maybe the first couple months of the year, you didn't have a good year. It was struggle bus. But at summertime, you were rocking, okay? Mm-hmm. And in the year now, you're rocking, and you follow everybody up with wills and you know, probate, stuff like that. You're rocking and rolling. And when you go do your taxes, you now owe $2,000 in taxes. Well, because you did not file quarterly as the IRS requires and recommends, you now get charged with a late filing penalty.
And even if it's before the deadline?
Yes, because you're supposed to pay it throughout. Remember I said, if you owe $1,000 or more, then you're supposed to do your tax, quarterly taxes. And now you wait to the end of the year and you owe $2,000. And I would say, you owe, it's over $1,000. So now we're going to charge you a late filing fee and an under-reporting fee. So, and you know, you don't even notice it. It's on page 2 of your 1040. You don't look on page 2 except to see if you got a refund. You don't
that's
go
it.
Through the lines.
That's it.
You want me to look
all the way down until, okay.
What's the refund? What's the refund? And
guilty.
And what they got filed. And then I'm going to go on irs.gov and I'm put in my social security number and my expected refund so I can see that check coming.
Okay.
So we're giving away money unnecessarily. And that's the part of me being a tax accountant and a tax advisor. I'm here to be your shield. We're giving away money. Let's look at your bookkeeping every month because you got these subscriptions coming through your account that you're not even using. Mm-hmm. That's $2 you can use, right? We found $8 already. Now we found $75 that you could have spent on some mascara. I heard you do mascara you got, right? Or some gas in your car, or you could have put that into towards 401k or an IRA. But now we're paying this extra penalty to IRS. So it's very important that you align yourself with a tax professional that is forward thinking,
mm-hmm.
That can educate you on why you should deserve things, not just hey, here, come get the $6, no, this cash advance on your refund. But they're not educating you, and the only time you talk to them is when it's tax time.
Throughout
the course of the year, you don't know what's going on. They you mm-hmm. know they sip mimosas and hang with their girlfriends, and you like hey. I see you in January.
Right.
So we want to, you know, you want to have a good relationship with your accountant and right. get to create good money habits.
And shout out to the mimosas. Okay, so let me ask, how can people get in contact with you so that we can use you to help us to be better business owners next year and have these taxes in order?
Oh, well, I do have an Instagram. It is Build with Camille, B-U-I-L-D with Camille. We're still figuring out if I'm going to take on any new clients next year. I have not decided. And now I'll tell you this. I do have some clients that said, Camille, I don't care if you're taking a break.
And
you are going to do my taxes.
Period.
You are my tax person. And so for you, thank you. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate y'all. So I will say this. Be with Camille. Okay. Instagram. And we'll see what happens November 1st. And if I do decide to do something where it can be an informational packet or take on a few year-end clients, I will definitely let you all know here at War Room, Tiger and you, Don. And then we can definitely give an affiliate link and a discount code for any services that I do decide to offer. Like I said, I'm still figuring those things out, but I'll definitely show my appreciation for you all giving this opportunity for me to educate your community on what we can do as business owners for taxes.
Well, again, you know that I love you. I really appreciate you. I feel that you coming out is the first step, and it's also a part of your healing process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forgive me if I'm a little forcing myself into that journey, but it's just, there's just too many jewels and gems and love and lessons and knowledge that all of us mm-hmm. can learn from. You're truly, truly a gem. And of course, Tiger T, you know, Tiger has been, I told him yesterday, I'm like, you're kind of like a brother that I never had, because, you know, he comes through in ways for me without me even having to say anything. It's like he has a sense like, okay, something's, what's up, you know, or here, you need this, you know. So definitely, I appreciate the opportunity to come onto this platform. And be able to talk to amazing people such as yourself. And you can definitely look for a phone call from me later on this week, just to, you know, make sure I got my stuff in order. Now, is there anything that you want to, any last words, anything you want to close and leave us with?
Absolutely. Invest in yourself. Invest in therapy. Foster good friendships, nurture those friendships, and invest in IRA and 401k, even if you are self-employed. Okay, we didn't talk about that, but how much time we got? We got 2 minutes, real quick, y'all. Listen.
Okay.
HSA, a health savings account, you can get an individual one that's not tied to an employer. 401k, you get a self-employed 401k, and you can get a self-employed IRA. These are some things you can do to help set aside money for retirement, because as a business owner, hear me clearly, I know people tell you that we can have $10,000 of your income. That sounds good. But listen, when the way you pay into the Social Security and Medicare is through the taxes that you pay on your tax return. If you're not paying any taxes or paying very little taxes, you are contributing very little or nothing to your Social Security and Medicare for future use. And if you're going to be aggressive with taking tax deductions and all those exemptions and tax credits we're talking about, then you need to be responsible for pouring into your future by starting an HSA, health savings account, which is going to be used for future medical needs, an individual retirement account, IRA, or a 401k, a self-employed 401k. So take that with that. Do your research. Like, again, be checking my Bill with Camille Instagram, and also here with War Room with Don and Tiger. We may talk about some things that we can offer you all for more information on that, but definitely take the time to invest in yourself for your future, because your future needs you to be ready for them. Okay, because you don't know how long you're gonna live. Okay, you eat, you drink, boy, mind your business. You may be here for a long time. Okay, yeah. So get yourself set up right.
Hey, all right. Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I knew that I would, and I really do appreciate your time tonight. I look forward to seeing you again. Maybe we can have you back on the War Room at a later date.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Awesome, my pleasure. Thank you.
Love
you, Tiger. Love you back.